Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
And a pleasant good afternoon and welcome everyone to a special edition of WWL's Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas here with Deuce McAllister, and we are live from the J.B. Falgu Bank building, the main office of First American Bank in Vacherie, and we are here to honor all veterans for their service to America. We were here last year. There's some jambalaya being cooked. There's going to be some American flags if you come by. And again, we were here last year doing the same exact thing. Monday, November 11th. Is Veterans Day. It will be the salute to service game for the Saints this weekend as they host the Atlanta Falcons. And hello, Deuce.
How are you doing, young man?
I'm fine. I always enjoy the drive out here, especially because it's always, you know, November. We came here for veterans last year in the sugarcane fields and the high school football, and you know, but unfortunately, it's still 80 degrees. It doesn't feel like it, but it is what it is. And there's some I will wait for the 7 o'clock in the All-State Sugar Bowl prep football roundup, but I know there's a lot going on in the high school action that involves temporary restraints and, you know, legal action. And
well, you've got seedings as well, though.
You can't. The pairings are supposed to come out, and I don't think they're going to come out. So it's
they'll come out. It may not be on the normal time, but they'll come out. I mean, because games have to be played. And here's what's interesting is a lot of those teams moved a lot of the games up because of the storm in the Gulf. And then as it continued to push, you know, we're going to get some rain, but I don't know if we're going to get as much as originally thought. So, you know, you had some teams playing last night.
Right.
And then you'll have, you know, those that can play tonight and tomorrow night. But obviously other things are going on in the high school ranks. And, you know, it's always intriguing, this time of year. And, you know, good luck to all those teams that are vying for a playoff spot.
Right. We'll see how it all kind of shakes out. There's supposed to be a hearing on the 18th. They're supposed to move up the hearing. So, anyway, if things change during our 2 hours here in Vacherie, we will let you know. You know, I haven't talked to you this week, you know, because it was a pretty quiet week. Not much happened, you know.
I got to get my shirt. I'm going to get me a shirt made. There was a picture and a report of Deuce McAllister.
Oh, I saw it. I saw it.
As the intern head coach.
That's right, on Fox 8.
Yeah, and so I was probably the intern head coach all of about 5 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. So I'm going to get me one of those shirts, interim head coach for 5 minutes.
You want that, whatever that pay is for that 5 minutes, you want 5 minutes of that incremental pay.
Well, I don't even think if the contract got signed in that 5 minutes, so you couldn't even say that, hey, you're due back pay for that 5 minutes. But a lot going on, and obviously a shakeup even in practice, a shakeup even in the locker room. And, you know, obviously reports are out about that. And here's the thing why some people may not understand the locker room situation. Normally, typically, you're going to be paired by position groups. But also, if I have a new team that really doesn't know each other, I am going to be random. Not necessarily 100% random with it, because I'm going to make sure, hey, I got a veteran by this guy, maybe a young guy. He doesn't know a lot about New Orleans. He's in his first year in New Orleans. It could be an offensive lineman next to a defensive back. And so for them to talk, that's why you would have random guys, so to speak, next to each other. Now, obviously, I know when they did it during COVID, it was because so one position group would not get – if one player got sick or potentially sick, one position group would not get the whole deal as far as being sick. But that's how – that's why, though, it would be, hey, why you leave it. It's basically, hey, you know, we want our players to interact with each other. Because I was telling some people, and you know it, but most people don't realize it, during those 7 months, you spend more time with your teammate than you do with your own family. It's like, what? Yes, you spend more time with your teammate than you do with your own family during those 7 months. And that's basically over the summer. I don't really call those full days, but the full days start in July. And it's all the way July through mid-January and even further, you know, late January if you continue to play into the playoffs. And so a lot of time around a player, and you want that player to get to know each other, because now if they can put self aside and worry about team, then you may have an opportunity to be pretty good.
So that was Monday.
Correct.
Tuesday, the trade for Marshawn Lattimore. Mm-hmm. There had been a lot of chatter about that. I guess just overall, give me, you know, so you didn't just lose your head coach in Dennis Allen. He also called plays. Joe Woods will call the plays. Joe Woods called the plays in Cleveland. He also called the plays in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, but it is, you know, changes.
A different voice.
Different voice.
A different voice, a different maybe ideas as far as, and it's not just Joe. You also move your defensive line coach.
Right.
Who will assist?
Todd Grantham becomes a senior defensive advisor.
Correct. So Grantham will help as well. You know, with the I call it the plan, put it together. But it's Joe, the guy that's going to call it.
And then Joe and Marcus are kind of developing a pass game.
Well, they're the pass game coordinators,
right?
And that's what I would call it.
And then Brian
BY
and
Hodges.
Mike Hodges, linebacker coach, are kind of the run game coordinators.
Yep, and so it marries together. And so it's all about, hey, how do we want to play this defense? What fits do we want to run? What do we feel the most comfortable? What personnel do we want to run? How do we want to rotate those guys? All of that has to fit together. And the thing unique about it is they've coached together before, so it's not a lot of new pieces in that sense, but now I will have a different voice maybe in my ear to suggest, hey, how about we do this, coach, or how about we do this? And it's, you know, ultimately it comes on Joe Woods and obviously Rizzi as far as what the ultimate call will be. You know, how aggressive do you want to be? How conservative do you want to be? Those are all things that they'll kind of talk about, not only pregame or as far as the week of the game, but in game as well.
And finally, the one thing that we didn't know until today was kind of like, who, Coach Rizzi, is you? You were the assistant head coach. You were the game management. Who's that? Who's you now? And he says it's going to be more of a three-headed, you know, person, if you will, with Maloof, who he just hired himself. He will stay involved. And Genta.
Peter,
right? So you have a kind of three people who will be involved in that game management kind of thing role that Coach Rizzi held as the assistant head coach.
And you say that, but really for me, I don't think it changes a lot. I mean, because here's the thing with Rizzi that is different from D.A. D.A. was the defensive coordinator. Now, he was involved with the game management overall. But Rizzi doesn't have to go over and talk to a unit, more so like DA may have would have, you know, in between timeouts or in between XYZ. Rizzi, he's going to be focused on, hey, the execution. I may go over and speak with the offensive guy because they didn't convert on third down or it looked like, you know, there was miscommunication. And so that's one of the things that will still stay the same. I'm intrigued to see who changes. If anybody comes downstairs, goes upstairs, you know, this first game, does that change in any way? From a substitution standpoint, how is that handled? Because I don't know if that was necessarily all handled by DA or the call. You know, hey, look, we're going to play dime. Hey, we're going to play nickel. You know, and so we're going to go with base. We're going to go with three down. And you got to remember as well, a lot of that is going to be dictated on who is healthy. Defensively, you're healthy outside of your corner positions. You know, your front seven, you're pretty much, I don't want to call it healthy, but you're pretty
better
much
than the secondary.
You're pretty much healthy, so you may not have as much movement in that area. Now here's where it gets tricky. You call up players because you're missing. We know four are already out.
Right.
And you activated, and you got to tell me because I don't. Maybe a little bit was going on. We know that Eric practiced. We know that Nephi practiced. We know that Shane Lemieux practiced. So their 21-day window, when was it announced? It was this week, correct?
Yes.
So
I think for Nephi might have been last week, actually. But for Eric, I think it was this week. That's a 21-day window opened.
Yeah, the 21-day opened. And so if it was Nephi probably has a chance to play this week. Eric and Shane possibly.
I think Shane does. I don't think Eric. I think Eric.
Well, Eric was to practice.
Right.
Let's see how you feel. You'll be up next week. Shane, the only reason I don't know about Shane is because with Shane, you're going to have to release somebody off of your active roster.
I feel like it's going to be, as we go to break, I feel like it's going to be a lot like last week. On that, you're going to have active roster moves.
Maybe, and practice squad.
And practice squad and moves, practice squad. You're going to have both.
Well, you know the one guy, because he's questionable at this point, and I don't really know, would be Chris Olave. Do you put him out for four games? And I know that was discussed, but he would be a guy that you take down and you can bring up a guy if you have some other guys that may be banged up as well. You know that they know that. We don't know that yet.
Got to take a break. We're going to change gears. Got a lot going on. It's a busy weekend. Saints and Falcons. You've also got LSU and Alabama. We'll talk with Chris Blair next. Again, we are at the Falgu Bank Building, the J.B. Falgu Bank Building, the main office, First American Bank here in Vacherie, Front Vacherie. We'll have more on that throughout the day. We're here to honor all veterans for their service to America. WWL, AMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Special edition of WWL's Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister. We are live from the J.B. Falgu Building, the bank building here, the main office of First American Bank in Vacherie. And we are here to honor all veterans for their service to America. Come on by 2785 Highway 20 and say hello to Deuce and get some jambalaya, get some chips, an American flag. And November 11th, Monday, is Veterans Day. We should serve and honor all year long, and not just today. Just a busy weekend ahead. Saints and Falcons, also LSU and Alabama, and just up the road from us, Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers, joins us. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm great, gentlemen. Hope you're doing well.
We are well, and we'll get to, you know, when I kind of pulled up the game today to see get some of the latest, the first thing on the top of the Tigers versus Alabama is Omar the Tiger, right? The story of the live Tiger that's going to be on the sidelines. Wait, this is the top story? But this is a big one for both football teams, you know, as you look to that 12-team playoff, and it's always big with LSU and Alabama. Your thoughts on this, the kind of impact that this game could have for both teams?
Yeah, Mike, I mean, for 2 weeks, it's you know, I've been talking about, you know, with lots of people here on campus and Tiger fans that I run into about, you know, whether it's the BCS or 14 playoff or now a 12-team playoff, it seems like at least for the better part, almost 15 years, that those two teams, when they meet, not quite the first weekend in November, but early November, nonetheless, that there always seems to be implications on the SEC, chance to win the SEC, and obviously now with you know, winning, getting a chance to keep your hopes alive of entering a 12-team playoff. And that's no different here. I think when you look at the path both of these teams have made, the records as it sits, you know, I think for all intents and purposes, the winner keeps those goals alive. It's not a lock, because there's kind of a group of teams atop the SEC with one loss. So LSU could certainly help their cause there. But you certainly keep the opportunity alive with, you know, three more weeks of regular season games to be in the conversation for a 12-team playoff. So, again, these two teams are going to meet, and that's why I think, you know, a big focus for all college football fans coast to coast on Saturday night will be paying attention to what happens here at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, Chris, and that's what I was gonna bring up as well. For all intentional purposes, this is probably a knockout game when you look at it, which I don't know if it's actually bad, because the focus definitely has to be there. And I think, you know, a lot of people say, well, the game doesn't matter because Saban in there, and, you know, maybe the rivalry fell off. Well, no, I think the game matters a lot. I think the game is obviously huge for the implications. And, you know, it's one where if I'm LSU, I like it in my backyard as well. And just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Deuce. I mean, I've always been in favor. Of course, you know, I came from a background in 1AA or FCS football where somehow they were able to manage 16 or more teams in a playoff. Go figure. I don't know how they did it for all those years. But so I've always been in favor. If you're going to do a playoff, you need more than four teams. And, you know, I think this weekend with Georgia and Ole Miss and LSU and Alabama and a number of games across the country, not just in the SEC, you know, here we are week eight, week nine, depending on, you know, your bye weeks. And, you know, there's still teams with one loss. There's still a team like Alabama with two losses where you're still kind of in the mix. And that's what I like about a 12-team playoff is that, you know, it keeps each week later into the season a little more interesting, and everybody's still got a little skin in the game. And that's why I think it improves the overall sport, because, you know, Coach Kelly said it, I think, yesterday after practice. I mean, yes, you can argue that this is all those things are on the line for LSU and Alabama tomorrow night, but the same can be said for Georgia and Ole Miss tomorrow. So that's why I like it. And I still think, you know, whether Nick Saban's on the sideline or not, I mean, this LSU-Alabama matchup has, you know, created a life of itself, because there's been some incredible moments. There's been some thrilling moments for LSU, probably more so for Alabama fans over that course of years. But it still means a lot. And, you know, it's going to be a wild night, as you guys have been reading over the last 24 hours. A truly wild night at Tiger Stadium coming up tomorrow.
And when you kind of look, and Saban's not coaching, but I think he's going to be there. I mean, he's supposed to be on the sideline, but then I heard maybe the live Tiger, maybe up in the suite area. So we'll have to kind of wait and see. You know, Alabama's defense and LSU's ability to run the ball, you know, that's been kind of an Achilles heel for Alabama, the kind of middle of their defensive front. You know, they held Georgia to 80 yards, but Tennessee 200-plus, Vandy 160-plus, South Carolina 130-plus. You know, they don't have the talent there that we're so used to seeing, and that's got to be a big point for this LSU offense to be able to run the ball, because if you can, man, it could be a long night for Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is going to be the key. I mean, you look at Alabama, I think nationally they're somewhere like 64th in rushing defense, which is, you know, again, you're not accustomed to that. And then you look at LSU, who's a lot farther down the list when it comes to rushing offense. But, you know, LSU is who they are in game nine of the season. They had gotten a little bit better in the run game against South Carolina. They got a little bit in the second half, certainly what they needed in that second half against Ole Miss. And then I thought ran the ball effectively, you know, against Arkansas. And as Coach Kelly told me last night on his show, I think he was admitting, hey, look, we're not asking for a 250-yard rushing afternoon. But in the Arkansas game, those 3 to 4 to 5 yards on first down suddenly put Garrett Nussmeier in this receiving core in second and short, certainly second and medium. And that, again, is the way LSU can really be effective with their mainstay, which is the passing game. Texas A&M, you got to give them credit. I mean, most of the night they rushed four and put seven in coverage, but LSU was looking at second and 10, second and 12, second and 13. And everybody in the building, all 108,000, knew that, you know, this is going to be a passing down, and that allowed Texas A&M, again, with their front four, to just pin their ears back and really – That was the change in the game. So for LSU, you have a chance to run the football, but you're not looking for – I mean, it'd be great if you could get it, but you're just basically trying to stay on schedule, because when you look at those games where teams have tried many different things defensively, Ole Miss has an incredible defensive front. Texas A&M has a good defensive front. The Aggies found out South Carolina has a really good defensive front. LSU was a one-trick pony, but they were still able to win because they got enough to stay on schedule. And to me, that's what you're looking for tomorrow against this Alabama defense. And, you know, Coach Kelly told me last night they have looked at everything. So, you know, we'll see whether or not they try to run right at them or maybe try to get to the outside. But a little bit of running will go a long way for LSU.
This last one for me, and I really, you know, I don't want to – we obviously, if he's in a group, then he's in a group. But is there a position group or a player or even a unit that has to play either at their expected level or even above the expected level for LSU to be successful?
I think, Deuce, it really for me, and Coach talked about it a little bit last night, it's got to be the defensive front and mainly the defensive edge rushers because they have played so well and been fairly consistent. And that's Braden Swenson, Savion Jones, with some help from the interior guys. They don't get all the glory, but they make that stuff happen. But the key is in the second half against Texas A&M, they couldn't adjust quick enough to, okay, we've gone from a drop pack pro style to a zone read running quarterback, and they were running right by Marcel Reed. They still got pressure. They just ran right by the quarterback. And they have played well against dual style quarterbacks, against Arkansas, against Jackson Dart, against South Carolina. So I think the key is going to be against Jalen Milroe, who again, you know, he's a total of 25 touchdowns he's accounted for this year, 13 through the air, but 12 rushing. And I heard Savion Jones say this week in a media opportunity that they can't change their aggressive style of trying to disrupt the offensive backfield, but they have to be smart. So if you're going to be the guy that's pinning his ears back to go to the quarterback, you've got to have a teammate that understands he's got to fill that hole so that you don't allow a giant runway for Milroe to escape the pocket and then bust huge plays, because that's what he did last year to LSU. And I'm not comparing last year's defense to this year's, but you still have to be disciplined. You can be aggressive, but you have to be disciplined. And for me, defensively, trying to hem in Jalen Milroe is going to be number one. He's got weapons around him, elite players around him like Ryan Williams. They got two really good running backs. But straight up, I think LSU can play with those other offensive weapons. It's going to come down to, do you let Jalen Milroe get loose? I think if you can keep him in the pocket, which is much easier said than done, and maybe speed up his footwork, maybe get him a little off balance, you know, he will throw the ball to you. But when he gets out and running, it extends the pocket, extends the play, and then when he tucks and runs, if nobody's there at home, it can be a very long night for the Tiger defense.
Well, Chris, enjoy the wild night that is coming your way. We appreciate your time. It will be interesting tomorrow. Hopefully the weather will be okay, but it's always a big one. Tigers and Bama, thanks again.
You got it, guys. I was told 9 years ago when I got here, it never rains in Tiger Stadium.
That may be true. We will find out. Thanks. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister got to take a break. We're live. Special edition of WWL's Fans in the Pro. We're from the J.B. Falgu Bank Building, the main office of First American Bank here in Vacherie, Front Vacherie, I'm told. We're here to honor all veterans for their service to America. Back after this on WWLAMFM.com, always free. Where? The Odyssey app. Well, welcome back, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, to a special edition of Fans in the Pro. We are at the J.B. Falgu Bank Building. It's the main office of First American Bank here in Vacherie, and we are here to honor all veterans for their service to America. And joining us now is Donald Nash, St. James Parish, District 7 Councilman, and we're going to talk about this building. We're going to talk about the man this building is named after, J.B. Falgu. And we all hear about community banks and this and that. And First American, which has been around a long time,
yes,
is a community bank. And you felt it, you touched it, because of a man named J.B. Falgu.
Very much, very much. It's kind of touching. It's been roughly 20 years plus. And J.B.'s son, Ronnie, and I was riding through a community, Terry Hutt community. And there was a piece of property that was there, and I would pass there often, I mean, riding a bike or running, and I wanted to purchase that property. Well, at the time, my wife was in nursing school, and I was only making like maybe $5 an hour. And I went to Mr. J.B. Fargus, and I said, I'm looking to purchase a piece of property. He said, okay, tell me what you plan on doing. I said, well, long term, I would like to eventually build a house there. Well, that went on for a couple of years. So he gave me that opportunity to go on and purchase the property. I think at the time, my note was maybe $186 a month. Well, 5 years later, or maybe 10 years later, I decided to want to build a house. And at this time, there wasn't any funding. I mean, I had the dream, and I was working, and didn't have that much money in the bank. And we sat down and talked about it, and at the time, it was required to have $20,000 in order to build a house. The value of the property and whatever I needed to move forward on was like $125,000. So Mr. JB asked me, he said, you need a down payment. I said, well, I'm looking to use sweat equity. He looked at me and he kind of laughed. He said, tell me about this sweat equity. I said, well, if the house cost me $125,000 to build, and the value of the house at the time was like $270,000 or $300,000, I said, there's a sweat equity balance in between there. I said, I'm going to use that sweat equity toward building the house. And he said, well, I don't know if the board members are going to approve this kind of action. He said, but I tell you what, let me think about it. And next day he said, go and talk to Rosie, and we're going to make that happen. He said, but that's one thing I want you to do for me. At the time, he wanted us to go in and do a little commercial at Oak Alley at the time. We did a commercial, and he said, I believe that you're going to really make me proud by paying for doing what you need to do for us, keeping up with the notes and everything. He said, tell me a little bit about this dream that you have. I said, well, coming off a plantation and from a single parent, mom had 9 of us in the family, and out of the 9, 6 of us have a college education. And I said, if you want something, you have to work hard toward getting it. And when you get it, you gotta appreciate it and look for this next person that you can actually pull up. And I said, in the community at the time, I was living on St. Joe Plantation, and I moved to South Vashon. Well, I wanted to move my mom into her own house. Mom was 84 years old. And I said, I want the house that I was renting. I was able to purchase that house and move my mom into that house before she passed away. As a council person in the community, I continue to give because I receive from, you know, Mr. JB giving me a chance. And before he passed away, I would pass through the community, stop there and talk to him. After the house was paid, I went on and bought him a gift certificate. And he looked at me, he said, no one have never bought me a gift certificate based on giving them an opportunity the way you did. And it wasn't it was not to give him a gift certificate because he went on and took a chance, but it was this next person that's going to come behind me that see that vision. If you believe in yourself, you can move forward. Nobody can hold you back. You hold yourself back. And right now, I give a lot to our community because someone, like I said earlier, someone gave it to me.
And to be clear, you lived in the house.
Yes.
Paid for the house.
Paid for the house.
Live there still.
Yes. Yes, still live in the house. Like I said, the vision of paying for the house, I didn't know at the time how I would actually pay for it.
Sweat equity.
The note was $946 a month. Well, at the time, my wife was chaired at school of nursing in New Orleans, and when you crunch the numbers, it's like, okay, you have to get up to $946 a month. So I decided to start doing construction work for myself. And I'm still doing construction work now. I started working, at the time I was working for the parish utility system, and I worked my way up from there. I started off as a ground utility individual reading meters, and I worked my way up to the management level. And everything worked out. The funding for his paying the house was there, and it grew from there. So if your vision is enough, you can make the vision, your vision possible.
Well, I think Deuce and I, that's the best job we've done in a block yet.
I
say like six words. Donald Nash, we appreciate the story to know about the building that we're in and the man that we're in. Congratulations. Continued success here in St. James Parish.
And keep making St. James Parish what it is. Keep growing it.
Yes. Very important.
Got to take a break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister back after this. We're at the J.B. Falgu Building in Vacherie. Here on WWL. Welcome back. Special edition of Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We're live from the J.B. Falgu Bank Building in First American Bank here in Vacherie. A whole other hour coming your way. We're going to talk about the Pelicans, more of the Saints and Falcons. So come on by. Get an American flag. Get some jambalaya as we celebrate Monday, what will be Veterans Day. Back after this. The news is next.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone, to the 5 o'clock hour. It is a special edition of Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister live from the J.B. Falgu Bank Building. It is the main office of First American Bank here in Vacherie. We are here to honor all veterans for their service to America. 2785 Highway 20 in Front Vacherie, which I'm told is North Vacherie. It's equivalent to Back Vacherie, which is South Vacherie. Did I got that right?
Yeah.
You can tell it's like a happy hour in here, but it's jambalaya and water. And so it's a unique bank experience. I do want to mention Magazine Pizza as well. 1068 Magazine, dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. We want to thank them. They feed our Saints broadcast team. And Deuce tried some of the jambalaya. How is it? Pretty good. I know it's good. It's down at, when you're making jambalaya down in the parish, man.
Yeah, you're down here. River Parish is my brother. It ain't even no question.
Right.
It ain't even no question. The only question is, how spicy do you want it?
You asked for some hot sauce. Did it need it?
Nope.
We didn't really talk about it much at the top, but we got right into Coach Rizzi. But Deuce did. I mean, he mentioned four are out. No Cedric Wilson, no Kool-Aid McKinstry, Chris Olave, Lucas Patrick out, Eric McCoy doubtful. So the questionables, Rico Payton, who was out last week, Will Harris, his window is open, Shane Lemieux questionable as well. And as usual, the Falcons have one guy that's out, J.D. Bertrand. He's got a concussion. Everybody else is up. They got a couple of questionables, one of them being Drake London, but I think we'll see him, of course.
I don't think so.
You don't think we'll see Drake?
No. He's dealing with a hip. He left the last game with that hip, and so I would be surprised if he plays.
Wow. So they are such a, like, this is the same team, the Falcons, that did not score an offensive touchdown against the Saints in week 4, and then in week 5, Cousins threw for 508 yards and
against Tampa
and four touchdowns, and they've swept Tampa. And if you just look at those two games, Cousins has 8 touchdowns, 1 pick, like 800 yards. It's like, my goodness. And watching them beat Dallas, it feels like they seem to have figured it out, and that is a lot of Bijan Robinson. He touched the ball, I think, almost half of the times that Atlanta had possession in the first half. It was in his hands either in the air or on the ground.
Well, the Saints still like the matchup. And so Bijan, I don't know what it is as far as against the Saints. He's played well against the Saints, but he hadn't dominated like he has against some other teams.
Almost so, like, same with Kyle Pitts?
Same thing. Kyle Pitts does not like playing the New Orleans Saints. Kyle Pitts will go 0-for against the New Orleans Saints and another team. Oh, he's got over 100 yards, you know, and he's got all of these other stats that he's able to put up. But against the Saints, for some reason, I don't know if it's style of play or how they play him, whatever it may be.
You always say play him physical.
Well, I mean, that's another part. I mean, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hit both of them. I'm going to hit Pitts coming off the line of scrimmage. I am going to hit Bijan even when he's releasing for a route because I feel like, and look, it is what it is. I feel like they're finesse players. And to beat finesse players, you be physical with them. You have to be physical with those type of players. And so you want them to think about the hit that's coming or the hit that they're going to feel more so than going out there and doing their job. You're not doing anything dirty, but I'm going to hit them. And they got to feel me.
They're 6-3. The way the schedule works out is completely weird to me because they play the Saints tomorrow, and that's it. They're done until their final game of the year from an NFC South standpoint. Saints are the same way. Play Atlanta on Sunday, and they're done from an NFC South standpoint until the final game of the year where they play Tampa. And then you've got teams like Pittsburgh and Chicago who've not played a division game yet. It's just kind of strange to me, especially in this NFC South where – it's November 10th, and so many things are not, you know, in cement. But, you know, a lot of the games have been played.
Well, a lot of the division games have been played, but that doesn't put you out of the race.
Right.
That just determines some of your tiebreakers and different things with how that's concerned. You know, and you can always say, well, you got a chance. You always got a chance because you have games. But for the Saints, you need to figure out to win a game. You know, that's the thing. You win 2 and you lose 7. Can you win 1? That's where you can say, okay, well, you know, technically we're only 1 game out of XYZ. Yes, that's correct. But you've got to win 1 game, you know, and that will be the challenge for them as you play the rest of the season just to be able to go out there. I want to see you go out and compete first and foremost. I want to see you go out and compete, and then can you execute? That'll be the next thing. Can you go out and execute at the level that you need to execute?
And then finally, we'll take a break and we'll talk about the Pelicans. And that is, in week 4, this was classic old school Taysom. It was, you know, it didn't even look like the wide zone offense. It was just Taysom. 2 rushing touchdowns, and that's when he got hurt. And they win that game if Taysom stays healthy. You got Taysom, you got Alvin, because your wide receiver room is going to be some people, you know, Olave. And, you know,
no Shaheed
and no Cedric Wilson.
Yeah, no Cedric Wilson
so,
as well.
And you then know, that's
no Bud Means as well because
right.
He's on IR.
Good
I mean,
gosh.
So you'll call up some guys, but for the Saints, it has to be the tight ends getting involved. And then even though you may not know some of their names, those guys can go out there and contribute. They can go out there and help you as well as far as receivers are concerned.
Take a break, and we'll kind of switch gears. We'll talk about the Pelicans. Pelicans in Orlando tonight. Saints got injury problems. Guess what? Pelicans do as well. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We're live here at First American Bank in Vacherie. We're here to honor all veterans for their service to America. Back after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. It is a special edition of WWL's Fans in the Pro. We are live from the J.B. Falgu Bank building. This is the main office here. First American Bank in Vacherie. We are here to honor all veterans and their service to America. We'll speak to a veteran a little later in the show. 2785 Highway 20 here in Vacherie. Come on by until 6 o'clock tonight, and then it'll be the Brian Kelly Show as LSU gets ready for Alabama. Now, I would love to be able to switch gears and talk about the Pelicans and go, hey, we can just change gears and talk about all the positive things that are happening, but it feels like the Pelicans' injury list would take us the length of this segment. It gets worse each time we talk. Kurt Heelan joins us now, the lead NBA writer for NBC Sports. And we talked recently, and it was bad then, And now you throw in Jordan Hawkins, bad back. He's out 1 to 2 weeks. He's averaging 16 points a game. And just saw where Zion is not going to play tonight in Orlando as well. I mean, it is, Charlie and I were talking in the break. It is unbelievable.
You know, I sprained my ankle two nights ago watching the Pelicans. I was just at home. It's
you're part of the team.
Really bad. Yeah, exactly. I'll take a 10-day contract. It's hard because you're in the West, and it's just going to, you know, it puts a lot on Brandon Ingram. It's hard to keep your head above water in a conference where, you know, if this were the East, you know, Milwaukee and Philadelphia are off to these terrible starts, and we're all kind of like, yeah, but the third place team's 500. Like, you're not that far off. You know, you can just get things together in a couple of weeks. The West is just not that way. And the concern is that you end up in a hole that's just really hard to get out of.
Yeah, and I think anything, and when you talk about the West as well, I mean, not all teams are dealing with injuries in the West, but
no.
Can you stay close to 500 until you get some of those guys back? One good point for the Pelicans was, I think it was your three-point shooter, he hadn't played yet. Trey Murphy was listed as doubtful. So Trey being just doubtful, that shows that he's getting close to being able to come back and play. And his points will definitely help. But right now you've got a lot of the young guys and two-way guys that are playing, and it's just tough. It's really, really, really tough.
It's really tough because, like you said, the West has hit the ground running, and it's like, yeah, Denver's dealing with a lot of injuries, but they got that Jokic guy in the middle. Like, the Lakers have had some issues, but they've still got LeBron and Anthony Davis. Well, Anthony Davis missed a game, but it's hard to keep going when you've got all these seniors you're trying to keep up with have a little bit, you know, you're losing Zion. You're kind of leaning into Ingram. You don't have the big offseason signing at DeJounte Murray now because of the hand surgery and all that. It's just, like you said, it's keeping yourself within touch of everybody else. So when you get healthy, you can start to make a push up the ladder as opposed to, well, we got everybody healthy. Now we got to fight and scrap and hope to make the, you know, the back end of the play-in.
Well, I got a question for you on the NBA in general. You know, has any team, whether it's a Young or even a Boston, have they surprised you so far on what you've seen this early season so far?
Golden State has surprised me. I honestly thought they got a little bit better trading away Klay Thompson. You know, he was leaving in free agency, but the sign and trade. Just because I'm like, oh, they added some depth, and Buddy Hield can shoot, and I think that they needed the depth. And Klay is just, you know, unfortunately, post-injury Klay is not the same guy. But I didn't think they were this good. I didn't think their defense was going to be this good. They're elite defensively right now. And if they keep the ball and getting stops and letting, you know, they did a really good job of letting Draymond move into a back to the four. If they're getting stops like that, and yes, Boston was shorthanded, but they went into Boston and beat Boston. They are beating the teams in front of them. I thought they'd be better, but I didn't think they'd be. This is way better than I thought they'd be. Plus, they got that Curry guy. I think he's still pretty good.
What is Zion missed the Portland game on Monday? We're in a bank. So what is his situation tonight? What is
left hamstring?
Left hamstring.
Yeah, this was he missed the left hand. This is the right one. This is the other hamstring.
Yeah, I think it's both hamstrings have been an issue now in the last stretch.
I'm not drinking the water anymore at that area at Saints and Pelicans camp. My hamstrings are not an issue because I don't move, but I mean, it's, you know, so they've had this kind of home stretch, right? They had four straight. They're in Orlando tonight, another 3-6 team. And then home for Brooklyn at Oklahoma City. And then they start the NBA Cup games. Maybe there's something that they can look at there. They begin at home against Denver, unfortunately, because they did well last year in this arena. The cup games, right. And so just, you know, I'm just trying to find something. What's the positive thing to hang on to from the Pelicans right now?
Well, first off, you've caught some teams at a good, like you're catching Orlando. Orlando's without Banchero, and he is their lone good shot creator, frankly. They really just don't have anybody besides him. So sometimes it's just when you catch teams is a good thing, because that's a good team, a very good defensive team, but they just can't generate any offense right now. So that suddenly becomes a more winnable game than it would be if they were at full strength. And I think the NBA Cup can be interesting because it can have its own weird momentum. Boston is not going to be very excited to put up a banner about it. And some of these teams may not be as focused on that as the league would like them to be. By the way, there's like 0% chance it's a coincidence Joel Embiid's suspension is up right before the first Cup game. Like that was not coincidental. But I think it can, like you said, last year they still made it to Vegas. You know, and it was a disappointing loss to the Lakers, but it built some momentum you can take forward. And hopefully if they can build a little momentum and, like you said, and get healthy and just stay in the mix, once they get rolling, they can get rolling.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I mean, for the most part, for the Pelicans, you're about a week or two away before you get CJ back, before you can get you'll get Hurt, but you'll get Hawk back as well. Hawk will miss the next week or so, and you could see Hawk was struggling. Even with his shot, his back was just kind of ailing him. So you will start to get some of those guys back within the next week or two. It's just, can you win, you know, 2, 3, maybe 4 games out of 10 games or out of, 6 games? Can you win 3 of those games? That's the question.
That's the question, and that's the challenge. And you still have some depth on this team. You've still got Brandon Ingram, who's played fantastically, and if nothing else, spiked his trade value if you're still trying to move him later. But guy can put up points. You still have an all-star level scorer on the roster, and that really helps because, like I said, teams like Orlando, not everybody's got that to fall back on.
Well, we hope for better things, right? You know, it's early.
Exactly.
I mean, 9 games in, right? The Saints are 9 games in, and we have Week 10 on Sunday. The Pelicans, again, on the road tonight, but they're home on Monday, the 11th, which is Veterans Day against Brooklyn. So, you know, you just got to weather the storm, baby. Just weather the storm.
Deuce would know if anybody would. The seasons never go like you think they're going to go. Nothing ever goes smoothly, and your ability to overcome adversity says a lot about a team. We're going to find out a lot about this squad.
Well, we appreciate it. Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer for NBC Sports. Pelicans tonight in Orlando, but then home on Monday night against Brooklyn. Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate your time.
Take care.
It's tough, man, right? I mean, I'm okay with overcoming adversity, but what is it, 7 guys?
Yeah, and you
9 games?
You're talking about contributors. We're talking about starters and contributors, major
right.
contributors. And so even the guys that are playing, you know, your starting center, both of them, Misi and Theus, both of those guys are playing hurt as well.
Yeah, and so just tough. Just tough, tough, tough. Got to take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, we are here until 6 o'clock tonight. We're at the First American Bank in Vacherie, the J.B. Falgu building, Bank Building. Come on by, say hello, grab some jambalaya, an American flag, 2785 Highway 20 here in Front Vacherie. Back after this, WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Special edition, WWL Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister. We're live here at the J.B. Falgu Bank Building, the main office here at First American Bank in Vacherie. We are here to honor all veterans for their service to America, 2785 Highway 20 until 6 o'clock tonight. And then it's the Brian Kelly Show as the Tigers get set for Alabama tomorrow at 6:30. Yeah, I think ESPN Game Day, are they there too?
Yeah, I think Game Day is there.
Game Day's going to be there as well.
I think Game Day is there, and then the Pelicans are tonight.
And the Pelicans tonight, they're in Orlando against, they're both 3-6, and then, of course, the Saints on Sunday against the Falcons and trying to put an end to start a new streak with Darren Rizzi. Joining us now, Jason Brazon, right? Did I do pretty good, right? Bras on?
Yes, sir. Doing pretty good.
As you say, like bras on, right? Bras
yes,
on.
Sir. Bras on.
You served, did you not?
Yes, sir. I served 4 years in the Air Force from 1988 to 1991. Ended up Desert Storm, and then once I got back from Desert Storm, ended up back at McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita, Kansas. And then not long after, I got out. Came back to Vacherie, ended up going to Nichols and working here at First American Bank.
Well, I got a question for you first. Thank you for your service, but tell me how much, and I know obviously it's a lot, but in your opinion, the aircraft and the technology of what you saw in the 80s to what we see now?
Well, actually, in the 80s, even when I was there, I didn't see half of the stuff that they had. Like I seen, we had the B-1 bombers was the main planes that we had on base, and those were basically nuclear. So I remember my mom had called me up and said that we're at war. You know, Desert Storm has started, and I was like, we're not at war yet.
Right.
Our planes.
Because those are still sitting here.
Our planes didn't leave yet.
Right, right, right.
And back in those days, too, they only let leak out what they wanted you to leak out.
Correct.
They weren't giving you all the information that was happening like nowadays.
Yeah, well, even nowadays, I think some of it is to let you know, hey, this is out there, but we still even have some more that you don't even know about.
Yes, sir. You're right.
And it's always intriguing, but, you know, I was just curious from someone that was in the Air Force, and, you know, you talk about the air supremacy and all this different stuff and how drones have changed, you know, and the warcraft or, will, you know, you have cyber and all kinds. We can go down some different rabbit holes. But, yeah. But I was just curious, you know, just From that standpoint, just with how technology has developed and continues to develop, you know, just from an aircraft standpoint, what that was to what it is now.
Well, with everything with the stealth bombers and everything else that you have out there right now, too. I mean, it's just unbelievable how stuff can go under the radar, not even knowing that it's there.
Now, you are decked out. It's radio, so I will tell people, a Nichols pullover, a Nichols State white hat. There's more than just a small connection with you and Nichols State.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Family. Family within Nichols State now. Brother-in-law there is a head coach, Tim Rebo. Another brother-in-law was there as a trainer for a couple of years, and then my son was actually a GAO there also, working with the offensive line, who decided after he got his master's degree, coaching wasn't his thing, so he wanted to be a pilot.
Well, I wonder where he got that from.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah.
Actually, that came from one of the guys over here that flew helicopters.
Wow.
He flew around with him on helicopters, and he figured that's what he wanted to do, was fly.
So where is he? Is he? I mean, is he in that process? What is he doing?
No, he's a pilot for United Airlines right now.
He's flying. It's just not a helicopter, even bigger.
Yeah. With a lot more lives on the line.
That's true.
That's unbelievable. Congrats. And so I was telling, we were talking actually in the break, the night before Nichols LSU, we were at the Rouses there next to campus, and that was a heck of a showing for Nichols that following night at LSU.
Oh, yeah. Nichols seemed like that night LSU was outcoached. I mean, didn't have the players and everything else out there, the talent and everything that LSU's got because of scholarships and everything, but Nichols showed up.
And one of the things I'm always impressed about, you know, anytime that I go down to Thibodaux and you see Nichols, is just the growth. The growth of the university, of the cities, you know, I think Houma as well, even though, you know, Thibodaux, but you combine both of them, but just the growth, and you know, I think the Nichols State has done an outstanding job just of growing it, and obviously the community is always behind it 100%.
And that's another thing, too. From the outside looking in, you see a lot of the players and everything with the coaches' involvement. They all become family. I mean, even for us, like we had taken in a receiver, stayed with us here in McKinney, went to St. James here, and he lived with us for 2 years just to kind of help him out. You know, my son was a GA, so he was going there regardless. So he stayed with us, and we brought him back and forth.
One of the things, and I'm actually trying to find it. So it's not the best year from football standpoint for Air Force, but for the service academies overall.
Yeah.
That's an impressive thing to see, you know, when they're ranked, right?
Army and Navy, top 25.
How about that? I mean, that's got to be a great feeling.
Yeah, I still follow the Falcons, though.
I know.
Air Force, that was a sight to see. It was on a softball team when I was down at McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita. Actually, I was on three of them. But we ended up going to play at the Air Force Academy. And I'm playing in the outfield, and you hear the bat hit the ball and you don't see nothing because everything is just crowned so much. And you just look in the air and just waiting for a ball to show up, and next thing you know, you got to go out there and get it.
Well, we can feel the Air Force's pain. You're playing Fresno State tomorrow. The Falcons have lost seven straight.
Yeah.
I believe the Saints are somewhere in that realm. It feels the same number. And that's the only time.
We want some good juju.
That's the only time I'm going to say positive things about the Falcons. That's the Air Force Falcons.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so hopefully that you end your streak tomorrow as the Saints end their streak on Sunday against the Falcons. We appreciate your time and thank you. We don't say it enough. We're honored for your service, and we do appreciate all that you have done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jason Brazal here at the J.B. Falgu Building. Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister take our final break, and we'll come back, wrap it up here on WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to this special edition of WWL's Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, live from the J.B. Falgu Bank Building, the main office here at First American Bank in Vacherie. By the way, thank you, everybody. Thanks for everybody here at the bank. It's been like a jambalaya happy hour here at the bank. Everybody's been so nice. Rosie, Donald, DePaul, Terry.
They still got work done, too, though.
They did?
Yes. The tellers were still serving people, and obviously the drive-through was still operating, and we didn't interrupt them, even though they had people coming in and, you know, eating jambalaya and talking and socializing with us. The show still went on.
I like coming here. This is the second time in the last 2 years I've been in a bank. This is when I come do this show. And so I like it. It makes me feel like a community bank should feel. You come in and have some jambalaya and some chips, and, you know, it's awesome.
Well, you know, I mean, when you're in a community bank, a lot of times, or not even a community bank, but a community like Vacherie, a lot of times people know you, but they know what you drive. They know, you know, when you come to the store, what you're going to normally get, you knowing that you're not passing through, hey, you stop in the store every day, but you only get gas on Thursday, you know, and so little stuff like that, so many people wouldn't realize. And then over at the football team, they do the big tailgate, or at least the cook-off for them. And I mean, it's packed. It is so packed. They sell the plates. People that aren't a part that come to listen to the coaches and everybody go over the
like the Tuesday night.
The Tuesday night get together.
Oh, yeah.
But they sell the plates, and I'm talking about
out of the back window, people driving like
drive up to be able to buy it. I mean, that's you don't find that in a lot of places.
Believe me, I have to say this quietly because I used to speak at the Lutcher Quarterback Club across the river, and it's a big rival of St. James. But people would come for miles to get the dirty rice and the chicken, and it was just it was kind of my.
Introduction
to that area of Louisiana, and it was just they're still friends of mine today. I will go to one of their houses for every year for the levee, the bonfires on the levee. So it's just cool, just great people, and we're very, very thankful. We know there's going to be, a Rizzy bump. Right? An energy bump, whatever, you know, is it sustainable?
Well, that's the question. I mean, you can feed off of the energy, but none of it matters if you're going to make some of the same mistakes and you're not going to be accountable for making those mistakes. It's one thing to be able to go out there and make a mistake and maybe I hold and it was because I had to pull them down, or I panicked and my technique wasn't bad. You know, some of that you can live with, but when you get up into the 8, 9, 10, and it's false start, it's a delay of game, it's we burnt the timeout because we didn't have enough men on the field, or I blocked where I shouldn't have blocked, you know, and I knew it was a blindside block. And so instead of me using the shield technique, I hit him in the back. I mean, those type of things, the margin is just not there for this team. And it's because you're missing so many of those elite players. And so not having them, your margin of error, it shrinks.
And so it's still Clint Kubiak, right? Still offensively. I think defensively is where I'm curious, right? So Joe Woods – will be calling the plays, and he was perfect yesterday. He's like, you know what? Three deep is three deep. Mm-hmm. Cover two is cover two. But he says Dennis's system, he does things a little different. Joe does from a pressure package situation. So will, other than you, who will see it, of course, will the average fan see a different looking? Will they notice Joe Woods calling the plays?
You will know it based off of, let's just call it personnel groupings, and where is the rotation from the safety. The safety will tell you all you need to know, particularly when it's pressure. I mean, you saw Carolina go to a check that we hadn't seen a lot of people go to, and that's normally Saints show pressure inside, and they like to be able to get their linebackers to depth. Well, the check that you saw Carolina hit them with, which you hadn't seen a lot of teams be able to do, is they're an empty, and they go – I mean, they were already an empty, but they go screen right away. Even if I have one back, screen right away. So now that linebacker that's normally just dropping to 8-9 yards hook, he's got to go flying flat. And if it's wide enough from a width standpoint, he's not going to get there. So being able to have some answers to – teams have seen that now. Teams have seen it. And so it can't be I'm going to play off coverage, because if I play off coverage, they're just going to throw a hot screen to you. So I'm intrigued to see it. I'm intrigued to see what keys you can pick up on little things like that. But, man, I mean, if you can fly around and have some emotions, create some turnovers, and just don't make some mistakes, don't make a lot of mistakes, you can win this game.
And that is exactly – Joe Woods kind of threw this in, and to me it made so much sense. He goes, you know, you stay with what the guys know, so they trust it. They believe in it and play fast.
You can't go and create new defenses. Same thing offensively. You're not going to go and create new things that the guys don't know. Defensively, I am going to call stuff that you know. I may just call it in a different way,
right?
Because I want you to play fast.
Yep. Got to play fast. Noon on Sunday. Again, thanks to everybody here at First American Bank in Vacherie. We appreciate it always. Thanks to our veterans out there. Monday is Veterans Day officially, but it's every day. Thank a service member. Thanks to Deuce McAllister, to Luke Augusta here with the board, Charlie Long back in the booth. Thanks for listening, everybody. Fans in the Pro, it is the Brian Kelly Show up next, then the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup at 7 o'clock.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.